this is Ella.
This is Kaya.
And this is Meg, and we're Plum Vision.
And you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM Winnipeg.
We'll be right back.
tried to bite a Chips Ahoy cookie without biting a chip. I'll reconstruct the crime. Snack time. Someone spies a playful of Chips Ahoy cookies. He bites a chip. He tries again, but the chips are stacked against him.
Original, chewy, and striped Chips Ahoy.
I confess, I did it, and I'll do it again.
Let you bite a chip.
What is it? It's close to what 10 minutes after 3? Thanks for joining me in the late night. Just pop into it. Comic book radio theater. All right, just quickly tell you. Okay, we don't need the background music. Nope. All right. Yeah, action's about to get going. Yeah, you are going to hear Wild Dog kick some major ass. It's going to sound cool. I'm going to try to make it sound cool. All right, let's get on with it. We are in the middle of a reading of Wild Dog number 4. Originally printed December of 1987. And anything else to tell you about other than, if you don't like the sounds of shotguns, well, then change the dial, okay? You're gonna get a lot of shotguns coming at you. Alright. Other than that, when I finish this reading up, we are gonna listen to music that was brand new in December of 1987, same time as our comic book that I'm reading right to your face. Ever hear of the Sisters of Mercy from the United Kingdom? I gotta tell you, I love the bass line here. And who's ever doing this, I have to congratulate them on having so much patience. It's the same bass line over and over and over again, and it doesn't sound easy to do, and I don't know, I don't know everything about bass, but just seemed like it'd be hard to keep up with. We're gonna listen to the Sisters of Mercy. I think they have such a cool sound. And also with them, Frontline Assembly. Sisters of Mercy, Frontline Assembly, that's what you'll get. Alright, I will skip to it. Comic Book Radio Theater. I'm your host, Martin R. Howell. This is CKUW 95.9 FM. We do this from the University of Winnipeg. Thanks for listening. Thanks.
We now return to Wild Dog number 4, December 1987. This is Comic Book Radio Theater on CKUW 95.9 FM. But one friend makes an offhand comment remark that turns Jack Wheeler's outlook around. Hey, why don't you use all that money to fight the mob? Jack Wheeler thinks to himself,
yeah, why not, indeed? Use all that money to fight the mob. Why not?
And Jack Wheeler's friends are relieved and pleased to see him putting his life back together. Jack seems to be at peace with himself. Totally at peace with himself, Andy. Yeah, he's a small businessman now. Look at his auto repair shop. He loves it. But that very evening, at the Gay Chalet Inn, an elaborate resort on the edge of the city, a convention of executives in the coin-operated entertainment business is underway. Wild Dog is outside the resort inn, and he's ready for action.
Action!
Okay, inside this hotel room, a lavish hotel room, are these two brothers. They are drinking wine, snorting cocaine, and they are with prostitutes. The bodyguards are outside the lavish hotel room.
We ought to be in that party too.
Yeah, what's the point of all this security in a little hick town like this?
Out of nowhere, Wild Dog jumps out and kicks one of the security guards hard in the face, knocking him out. With the other security guard, Wild Dog uses a shock glove and disarms him of his gun. He then kicks the other security guard hard in the stomach, knocking him unconscious. Back in the hotel room.
Carlo, did you hear something?
Just my heartbeat hugging all these hookers. Just my heartbeat, Carmaine.
A door of the lavish hotel room gets kicked in. Wild Dog stands in the doorway, his gun ready. Goodbye, girls. Leave now. The prostitutes quickly run out of the room. The mob bosses, as quick as they can move, get to their guns. But fortunately, are too late. Wild Dog shoots them dead.
Boss, what's happening here?
The man that was in the car that shot Claire and shot at Claire and killed her runs through the door. Jack Wheeler, known as Wild Dog, remembers his face clearly, and he begins to cry. The killer shoots his gun at Wild Dog, but he wildly misses. Wild Dog shoots back, and he does not miss at all. Wild Dog is so enraged, he shoots him even more. He was not named that night. No names. But he was born in the deaths of others. Wild Dog was born. Lieutenant Andy Flint is giving Jack Wheeler a visit at Jack Wheeler's auto repair garage. Okay.
Jack!
Oh, hi, Andy.
You screwed up. I'm showing you a photograph of you as Wild Dog. You screwed up there, Jack. Of the four of us yesterday at that meeting, only you were wearing combat boots. In this photo, Wild Dog has combat boots on. Check out Wild Dog in action yesterday in this photograph. You are Wild Dog, Jack. I know you mean well, but you're wanted by the law.
And I'm needed by the public.
Sure, it's your holy war, isn't it? Against the mobsters who killed your love? Against the terrorists who blew up your pals?
I'm against anybody who uses violence to force their beliefs, their will on the rest of us. I could use a police contact, Andy. Are you going to help me or not?
Help you?
And as the police radio speaks in on a high shelf in Jack Wheeler's auto repair garage.
Terrorist action at City Hall. City Council seized, kidnapped.
There is one friend who awaits the decision of the other. What are they gonna do? Do they need Wild Dog or not? Is that the end?
Yeah!
wild dog. Awesome. All right. This is Bean, Comic Book Radio Theater on 95.9 FM out of Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. You have just listened to a full reading of Wild Dog, number 4, printed December, the year 1987.
Radio that's passionate, genuine, and personal. CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
Dance to the beat, and the beat is
comic book radio theater.
I just got a pitch into it. I took my sweet ass time with the first comic book, Wild Dog. I want to get into this one. I don't know how much time I have. I hope I have all the time I can. It's She-Hulk. Savage She-Hulk, number one. It was put out there in February of 1980. Okay. And we get the origin story of the She-Hulk, a character that's come a long way. She's in the movies. She has her little Netflix or Disney Plus TV show, all sorts of comic books. Anyway, a successful comic book character. She's done it all. Anyway, this is how she begins and everything like that. I will tell you this, and I quickly tell you this. When we get into our music break, I'm not going to work too hard on it. We're just going to listen to one single album, February of 1980. Released was End of the Century by The Ramones. Yes, from New York City, The Ramones. All right, find a little bit of music and we will get on going with Savage She-Hulk, number one. Printed February of 1980, part of this comic book radio theater. All right, toot sweet, let's get going. All right, CKUW 95.9 FM, we are your community supported station. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Radio that's passionate, genuine, and personal. CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
Call him David, call him Bruce, call him Bob. What does it matter? The important thing is this. Until today, the tormented Dr. Bruce Banner was unlike any other human on Earth. Till today. For on this day begins the startling saga of a secret revealed, a tragedy shared, and a monster aborn. I can't hack it any longer. Sooner or later, the police will find me. I need help. Somebody, anyone, to turn to it, to confide in. The last time I saw Jennifer Walter, she was just my kid's cousin. My kid cousin. Now she's a lawyer, a big lawyer, here in Los Angeles. Jennifer, she's the one. She's my last hope. Stan Lee presents The She-Hulk Lives. Dr. Bruce Banner walks into this building. Now he opens the door to attorney Jennifer Walter's office. Need some help, lady? The book's almost as big as you are.
That voice! I know it from anywhere! Dr. Bruce!
It's you, after all these years!
Dr. Bruce, you were the only one who ever called me that.
I haven't heard from you since you quit medical school for nuclear physics.
How about you becoming a big-time criminal lawyer here in L.A.?
Never mind me. I want to know it all. All of it. Wait. Dr. Bruce, something wrong. I can see it in your face.
I might as well come out with it then. But Jen, my dear little Jennifer, I don't know how to tell you this.
Don't you remember? We were almost like brother and sister. We told each other everything. Everything.
Okay, Jennifer. I'm a wanted man. The police are after me. After me. The army, they're after me too. And sometimes I think the whole human race is as well.
I can't believe this. Not you. Not you. What have you done? Answer me, Dr. Bruce. Answer me. I have to know. What have you done?
It's not what I've done. It's what I've become. I'll tell you the whole story. It began a few years ago. After leaving medical school, I devoted myself to working on the awesome G-bomb. Six seconds to countdown. Gamma rays, the most mysterious power on Earth, if I can harness them.
You're a fool, Banner. A fool. It's too dangerous. Too dangerous. You're unleashing forces no man can control. No man! I had never liked Igor. Never. Nor did I trust him. But before I could reply,
no, no, no! There's somebody out there! Somebody! It was a teenager, a little teenager, lost in his own world, oblivious to the warning signs. He was heading for certain danger.
Okay, there's this teenager driving in a car, and he's also playing a harmonica. Dr. Bruce Banner comes running after him, yelling.
Ordering Igor to stop the countdown, I race to the bombing site. You fool! You fool! You're in danger! Mighty danger! Igor betrayed me. The countdown continued anyway until... I had just the time to toss the teenage boy into the protective trench, but I caught the blast myself!
Thank you.
It was that blast that turned me into the rampaging monster. The rampaging monster the whole world fears and hates. The whole world fears and hates the Incredible Hulk.
You are that green skin monster. But how?
A chemical change. It just comes over me. I can't control it. I can't. I can't cure it. I can't help it. I can't. I sometimes, Jennifer, I think I'm going mad. Look, I'm sorry to lay this all over you, okay?
Don't say that, Dr. Bruce. I want you to come home with me. Come home with me. There must be an answer. There must be.
Jen, I've got to warn you. There may be danger.
Danger? Come on, cousin. I'm a criminal lawyer. I live with danger.
No, it's not the same.
There are two men who are following Jennifer Walters and Dr. Bruce Banner in a car.
It's her. Let's get ready. Hey, she's with someone, some guy.
Fat lot of good that's gonna do her.
Back in the car of Jennifer Walters.
So far, I've done all the talking. What about you, Jen? How are you doing?
Oh, I keep busy. Right now, I'm defending a hood, some criminal named Monkton. He's accused of murdering Nicholas Trask's bodyguard. Monkton's no saint, no, but he's being framed. Trask, he hates Monkton, hates him. He set the whole thing up, but I can't prove it.
Oh, what'll you do? How do you intend to defend your client, then?
I've got a plan. This is it. I've planted a rumor that I've found secret evidence proving Nicholas Trask himself murdered his bodyguard. That ought to shake him up.
But if Trask really is a killer, he may try to silence you. Permanently.
Oh, come on. Those things only happen in the movies. The men in the car that are following Jennifer Walters and Dr. Bruce Banner start to speak. They're getting ready for something.
They stopped in the driveway. That's where she lives, Dad, hey?
Okay.
soon as she gets out of the car, you know what to do. We both do.